Earlier, as the candles were being lit, we had some readings from Isaiah. We're now going to have another reading from Isaiah that we're going to read together. This is one that will be familiar from carol services. It's from Isaiah chapter 9. Now, what I'd like to do this is to read this together. So where it says LHS, that stands for left-hand side. And to avoid confusion, that's the left-hand side as you are from your perspective. In other words, the people over this bit sort of down about halfway down the middle. If you're in the middle, you can decide whether you want to be a left-hand person or a right-hand person. But left LHS, left-hand side. RHS, we think, might mean right-hand side. All means, we'll all say it together, and when it says LDR, that's leader, that's me. Hopefully this will not be confusing. Well, let's read this reading together. So we'll start with the left-hand side. The people... The joy of a great celebration, sharing rich gifts and warm greetings. The abuse of oppressors and cruelty of tyrants, all their whips and cudgels and curses is gone, done away with. A deliverance as surprising and sudden as Gideon's old victory over Midian. The boots of all those invading troops, along with their shirts soaked with innocent blood, will be piled in a heap and burned. A fire that will burn for days.
For a child has been born, for us, the gift of a son, for us, he will take over the running of the world.
His name will be Amazing Counselor, Strong God, Eternal Father, Prince of Wholeness.
His ruling authority will grow, and there'll be no limits to the wholeness he brings. He'll rule from the historic David throne over that promised kingdom. He'll put that kingdom on a firm footing and keep it going with fair dealing and right living, beginning now and lasting always. The zeal of God of the angel armies will do all this. Amen. I should perhaps have explained that if the word sounded a little unusual to what you're used to hearing, that is from the Message version of the Bible. It's a modern translation. So, have the first slide. Christmas won't be Christmas without any presents, is the opening line from a classic novel. Anybody know which one? Little Women. Set against the backdrop of the American Civil War, the book opens just before Christmas. At a time when the father of Joe, Meg, Beth and Amy, who are the little women referred to in the title, he's away fighting in the Civil War, and so money for that family is very short. And so this Christmas at the start of the book, they realise is going to be very different to previous ones. So different, it won't really be like Christmas at all. So I wonder what the one thing is that you would say is the fundamental part of Christmas for you. What's the one thing that if it was missing would mean that it wouldn't be like Christmas at all? I guess for many people, especially if we're honest, the children, but also the adults, Christmas is all about the presents. And for many people, particularly adults, the time of Advent is dominated by the thought of what presents to buy, as well as what we might receive. And of course, wherever we go, wherever we are bombarded by pressure to buy stuff for Christmas, particularly presents. And that pressure, of course, starts way before Advent begins. I have no idea what time the earliest things arrive in the shops to do with Christmas, but an awful long time before Advent. And this is not an aspect of Christmas I particularly like. However, I did like this advert from John Lewis from 2011, which we're now going to see.
Good times for a change. See the luck I've had. could make a good man turn bad. So for once in my life, let me get what I need. Lord knows it would be the first time.
Sleep at 8 o'clock on a Christmas morning and then rush past all their presents, but it's the thought about that it's about giving. And for some people, giving gifts at Christmas is a real delight, as it appears to be for that boy in that advert. But for others, it's a bit of a chore, something we feel we have to do, or maybe our financial situation makes it very difficult for us to give, or at least to give those things that we'd like to. I am honest, like giving presents and receiving presents. Giving presents is one of the main ways I express love for others. And for me, giving is not about the monetary value. It's about the thought and time that goes into deciding what to give. And the pleasure when you give something which is really appreciated. So why do we give gifts, give presents at Christmas? It might be to remind us of the gifts given by the wise men to Jesus as a baby. The gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Or it could be in recognition of St. Nicholas, Bishop of Myra in the 4th century, who liked to give money anonymously to needy families. The story is told that one day he climbed the roof of a house, dropped a purse of money down the chimney of a poor family. The purse landed in the stocking of one of the daughters, which he'd hung up to dry. Hence the tradition of hanging up your stockings and hoping that something will drop into them. But for me, it is about celebrating the greatest gift of all. As we read earlier from Isaiah, the gift of a son for us. And as John, one of Jesus' disciples, wrote a few years after Jesus had been born, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not die but have eternal life. So yes, for many of us, the presents are a very important part of Christmas. But let us not lose sight of the reason behind them, the greatest gift of all, God's gift of a saviour, a rescuer, to his people who needed to be set free, to his people who needed a light in their darkness. There should have been, thank you, missing picture there. But Christmas is also about a different sort of presence. I don't know about you, but I seem to have had a number of invitations to parties or other celebrations which say, we want your presence and not your presence. You may even have sent invitations like that to yourself. We have an invitation for a do next year which puts it slightly differently. It says, no gifts or cards, just your wholehearted fun self. I think buying a card or a gift might be easier. Anyway, for many people, Christmas is all about the presence of friends or family. It's about being with other people. And if being with family and friends is a really important part of Christmas for you, then how you feel about celebrating Christmas will be affected by who you are able to be with. So for some people, Christmas isn't an easy time, either because they're on their own or because of this year or a particular year might be somebody that was with them in the past, is now not with them anymore. But if we think Christmas is all about being with family and friends, then we are missing the point. Many of you will be aware that just over a year ago, our son Matthew married an American girl, and immediately applied for permanent residency in the States. And while that was in process, he wasn't allowed to leave the country. So for the first time in 30 years, Matthew wasn't with us for Christmas last year. He missed us, as evidenced by the post that you've already seen on there. But not, I suspect, as much as we missed him. He was in a part of the world in a place called Bend in Oregon, where I think they always have a white Christmas. And that was on 24th of December. As well as Matthew not being with us, we were very conscious of the gap left by our daughter's boyfriend, who had spent the previous three Christmases with us, but who had been killed in a road accident earlier that year. And we really did miss their presence last Christmas. But the real meaning of Christmas is not about whether particular people are physically with us, but celebrating the fact that God is present with us. John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." Or as the Message puts it, "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." In other words, God, in the person of Jesus, was born as a baby and came to live among the people he had created. Those of you that were here last week may recall that we recited the Apostles' Creed together, a great statement about what we believe. And it includes the words, "I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary." A summing up of the fact that Jesus was both God and man. Not always an easy concept for us to get our heads around, but it is what is at the heart of the Christian faith. This is how the evangelist J. John put it in his book, What's the Point of Christmas? I'll just read what he wrote. "We were created in God's likeness to live in the world and to enjoy an intimate relationship with him. Because God is love, we were not forced into this friendship. We were given the free will to choose, to accept or to reject God. But right from the start and then down through the years of history, we have turned away. We have turned from our Creator, choosing our way rather than his. We have shut God out of our lives. And because of this breakdown of communication, something or someone was needed to heal the divide. Someone to stand between God and us, a go-between. Someone who shared and understood our humanity, yet was untainted by our sinfulness. But because no prophet or priest, seer or saint could fulfill that role, God himself became man in the person of his son Jesus. This is the meaning of Christmas, the babe at Bethlehem. It was the coming among us of God himself to restore the world we have messed up." As we often sing at Christmas, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessing of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him, still the dear Christ enters in. But how many of us really make space for Christ at Christmas? Christian poet Gordon Bailey, who was very popular in the 1970s when I was a teenager, he wrote this poem called Gone and Forgotten. "Cardmas, Crackermas, Tinselmas, Jinglemas, Turkeymas, Puddingmas, Stockingmas, Drunkenmas, Excitementmas, Overdraftmas, Disappointmentmas, Alka-Seltzermas. God came down at Christmas and found it wasn't." As I said earlier, Christmas should be about celebrating the most amazing event that has ever taken place. God coming to earth as a human baby. And if you really take time to think about it, it can be difficult to take in. The fact that God, who created the whole universe, the one who is all-powerful, all-knowing, present everywhere, should take the momentous step of being born as a tiny, helpless baby in very humble surroundings. But we believe that is what actually happened at that first Christmas, and that is what we should be celebrating. So Advent is about preparation, preparing and waiting, both for the time when Jesus will come back again, as Simon talked about last week. An important aspect of Advent is remembering that Jesus will come back again, but also preparing to celebrate his first coming. And for many people, Advent is all about preparing for that present giving. But maybe we need to focus more on preparing to celebrate his presence. How can we do that? How can we make sure that Christ, the reason for the season, is actually part of our Christmas preparation and part of our celebrations? So I just want to make three suggestions which you may find helpful. First, I think, is it's really important to have visual reminders in our homes to what we're thinking about at Christmas. As we decorate our homes for Christmas, what evidence is there that we're celebrating the birth of Christ? So you can have a nativity scene. You know, we've got quite a big, good-sized one at front of the church. There are ones you can buy. There are ones you can make. When our children were growing up, I'd found a pattern in a magazine and making little figures out of felt, which is the sort of pictures you can see on the right-hand side. And every day in Advent, we added something to the stable. There weren't quite enough things for 24, so I had to write little verses as well. So there was something every day that went into that. So during Advent, we were reminded what it was all about. Then Advent calendars, which are actually about the real Christmas. Now, despite the plethora of Advent calendars, all sorts of varieties you can find these days, you can still, if you look, find ones that are actually about the real meaning of Christmas, with or without chocolate, depending on whether you're a chocolate Advent calendar person or not. So having one of those and opening the doors each day, often they have like a little bit of the story. I think it's really good for children. Just to remember as you're coming up to Christmas what it's about. And Christmas cards. What do the cards that we send say about the way we celebrate Christmas? I like to try and ensure that the cards that we have particularly on display in our lounge are ones that are about the birth of Christ, just as a reminder of what it's all about and the message of peace and hope which his birth means. So visual reminders are a good way of helping us to prepare. Secondly, worship. For me, Christmas wouldn't be Christmas if there wasn't an opportunity to be in church worshipping the one whose birthday it is. I might be wrong, but I think that in 60 years, there was only one time that I didn't go to church on Christmas Day. That was in 1983 because my daughter had been born the day before. When I was growing up, it was always church before presents, with the exception of a small stocking, or I think actually a sock of presents. And that's continued ever since in our family. And I hope that we will continue to do that wherever we are. I'm hoping to go to Seattle for Christmas next year. But we'll still want to find a church to go and be part of a worshipping community, worshipping Jesus on his birthday. And for me, that's one of the key ways to ensure that Christ is at the center of our Christmas celebrations. But I think the third and probably most important one is our attitude. Do we want Christ to be present in our celebrations? If so, then we should be asking him to help us keep our focus on him. Take time to quietly reflect on what he means to you. Can I have the next slide, please? To reread the Bible story, to get hold of a book of Advent reflections. I know we're partway through the Advent, but, you know, next year. Play carols or worship songs as you make your mince pies or wrap your presents. And if you've never thought much about him, then maybe make this Advent an opportunity to do so. Sam's already referred to the booklet that we've got, an opportunity to read through the story. Read through that. Attend some carol services here or elsewhere. Talk to someone who does know him. Make this Christmas the first one you really celebrate with Christ. So Advent is the time when we prepare and wait for the coming of Christ. God's people waited many years for God to fulfill his promises. And earlier we read together from the prophet Isaiah writing about 700 years before Jesus was born. That's an awful long time to wait. He said that into a dark world a very special light was going to come. This light would come in the birth of a baby boy who we'd be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And his words brought hope to God's people as he talked of a time when there would be peace and joy and a time to celebrate. A time when a righteous king would rule with justice. And knowing that God has already stepped into our world gives us hope. Hope that a time will come when Jesus will return and the world is put to rights. Hope that there is so much more to come. As an example of hope, I just want to finish with a poem that was written by Andrew Gardner, who's a Baptist minister in Plymouth. And I believe, as I've been told, this afternoon, Songs of Praise, 3 o'clock, is going to include the story of Andrew, who is battling with cancer, telling his story about the way God is working through him. Because while Andrew's been undergoing treatment for cancer, he's experienced real sudden bursts of creativity, writing many songs and poems testifying to his faith in God. So if you're around at 3 o'clock or can watch it on catch up or something, try and see if you can watch Songs of Praise today. In the 4 days between receiving the initial call from the Songs of Praise team and the filming, which doesn't seem a very long time, but 4 days, Andrew was inspired to write an Advent poem. In speaking to one of my work colleagues, he said, "The people making the show said it would be great if I had a poem about Advent which I could read as part of the service. At that time, I didn't have one, but as soon as I came off the phone, the words were forming in my head. I wrote the first 2 verses immediately, the next 4 not long after. When I next spoke to the BBC, I said, I now have a poem. This is Andrew's poem," which they've put on bookmarks and they're going to be giving out to everybody that comes to their carol services over Christmas at their church. "Quietly stealing in, you come among us. He is among us. Suddenly, King of Kings, you are here for us. You are one of us. Here he is, so very small, not very famous yet. Can this just really be? Tiny, so frail in her arms, gentle and fragile, Lord God Almighty. The great story unfolds, glory descends to us, but in cloths now concealed. Humble, there in the stable, in a world far from stable, God's love now revealed. The longing, the waiting, the centuries of silence, at last it's all over. The trust and the hoping and our need for a saviour, thank God it's all over. Prophecies, such insight given to the faithful, fulfilled and unveiled. What has been prayed for, now being seen here in the form of a child. Who would have thought it, in oh such a small town, most unlikely of places, in a desert location where we're not deserted, Christ our oasis. Christ has come among us. That's what we celebrate. Just going to spend a few moments in prayer as we think about hope and pray that God will bring hope to those who perhaps feel hopeless at the moment. As we just read this, or just read these words, then maybe you'll have in mind people that you know who just need a touch from God, need to know about his hope. And if that's you, then this prayer is for you as well this morning. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we remember today how so many people looked forward to your coming, but how it became harder to go on believing as the years went by, how hope started to splutter and dreams began to die, until finally you came, the fulfillment of prophecy, the culmination of God's purpose, the definitive expression of his love. Lord of all, the word made flesh, bring hope to your world today. We remember with gladness how you brought hope throughout your ministry a sense of purpose to those for whom life seemed pointless, the poor, sick, outcasts and broken-hearted, light shining in their darkness, joy breaking into their sorrow, new beginnings in what had seemed like the end. Hear now our prayer for those caught today in the grip of despair, those for whom the future seems bleak, optimism seems foolish, and trust seems futile. Reach out in love, and may light shine into their darkness. Lord of all, the Word made flesh, bring hope to your world today. Lord Jesus Christ, we remember your promise to come again in glory, the culmination of God's purpose, the ultimate victory of love. May that conviction bring new faith, new vision, and new purpose wherever life seems hopeless. Lord of all, the Word made flesh, bring hope to your world today. In your name we pray. Amen.